I want to read some verses here about what I think is a very important subject for the Christian, for the child of God, and it's really important for everyone. But I don't think that the unbeliever can really have what we're going to deal with tonight because he's an unbeliever. Some things are reserved for the child of God, and praise the Lord for that. And there's some things that we have that others do not have. There's ways that we can look at things. We have the Holy Spirit that teaches us, trains us to look at things through spiritual eyes, where the lost world does not have that. And I'm sure glad he has reserved heaven for the believer. And it says, no unbeliever, nothing shall defile that place that we are going. And so tonight in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, read a few verses here, beginning with verse number 6 as we read. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, with which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith, have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Here as Paul writes to this young man, Timothy. Every time I read Timothy, I have to remember he's writing to a young man that he had had in his ministry. Timothy had been with him on some of his travels. And Timothy now is at a location. And Paul writes to instruct him that he might carry on the tradition that Paul had given unto him. I really believe, as Paul calls him his son in the ministry or his son in the gospel, I really believe that Paul was trying to gear Timothy to carry on and take on the mantle that Paul had, as Elijah gave to Elisha. Those things in the Old Testament, Elisha asked for a double portion of the power that Elijah had, and of course, the stipulation was given if he saw Elijah leave this world, he would have that. And he followed him everywhere he went. And I sort of picture maybe that Timothy and Paul sort of like that in the New Testament. Everywhere Paul was, there was Timothy. And he was learning and being trained. And there's nothing wrong with having training. I've heard preachers say, I don't need any training. I don't need any education. And when they speak, they let you know they don't have any education or any training. And that's not everything, but it is important that we can present ourselves in a world that is looking for correctness and right ways and just professionalism. And I'm not saying that that a preacher ought to be a professional, but he certainly ought to act professional in the ways that he does and the actions that he has, because the world is looking at all of us. But Paul tells Timothy here, he says, O thou man of God. And so Paul puts the term upon him that's very, very important. And he tells him to flee these things. Now Paul has been dealing in these verses that we just read primarily with the subject of contentment. And probably tonight and any other time that we get together, and any time you go out with a group of people, you're going to find out that there's a big majority of folks that are not content with what they have. They are working diligently, they're working hard, they're doing all they can do to get out of where they are to something better, something bigger, something more elaborate. And they're just not content in this world. This afternoon, as believers, we think about that. Here Paul says that godliness with contentment is great gain. He's writing to Timothy, the young preacher, and he says, the main thing in your life is godliness with contentment. And he said, that'll give you great gain in your life. And I believe that's where we are. I believe that's where every believer should be, that we have a contentment in our life that we are willing to follow the direction that God gives us. It's the secret of contentment, the secret of godliness, the secret of having a life that's enjoyable. I'll tell you what, life's too short to not enjoy at least some of it. Life is too short. Time goes by too rapidly for us to live in a turmoil and a hectic pace all the time. And a lot of that comes to us and to our world is because nobody is content. If they have one thing, they want something else. When they obtain that something else, then there's something else they want. Nothing seems to satisfy. Nothing seems to satisfy the desire to gain and to get. And Paul deals with this in these verses that we have read. Some hope to gain contentment through their wealth and their success. Some hope to gain contentment through their personal achievements. And those things are well and good. There's nothing wrong with achievement. There's nothing wrong with wealth, as long as we don't let wealth overshadow our mentality and who we are and what we are. There's nothing wrong with having the things of this world, but those things are not what gives contentment. Those things are not what gives us godliness. There are as many wealthy and successful people that have gone through their life and they're not content. Not every time, but many times when you will hear a news flash or you'll read it that certain person, well-known individual, has died. And many, many times it's because of suicide or self-inflicted wounds in their body. It's because of drugs. It's because of all the things that the world has to offer. And they're doing all that to try to find what I think you and I ought to have and do have through the Lord Jesus Christ, contentment. They're looking for it. They're longing for it. They have their wealth. They have their popularity. They have their stage, and everybody looks at them, and everybody yells and hollers and cheers them on. But there comes a time when something goes wrong and something is not working right, and the next thing we find out is that they have destroyed their life, not just gradually, but all of a sudden they have taken their own life. How many people, how many songwriters and musicians and people of the theatric world, how many of those that we could call off, very, very talented people, some of them would astound you with their ability with musical, and whether we agree with it or not, they were brilliant in the things that they did. And but you find that they destroy their life. And their wealth and their success and their popularity have not given them what they really want, and that's contentment. Just to live in a world to be content. To live in to have a life that things are smooth and easy. And you can think of men like Elvis Presley. You can think of men like Michael Jackson. You can think of different ones. I read yesterday that there's another rocker that died yesterday, and self-inflicted problems. And so we find they're looking and searching and longing for this thing that Paul tells Timothy about, that godliness with contentment, it's great gain. I believe it's more important. I believe it's of more value and more wealth to the body than all the money that somebody might give you to be content. You can have the money, you can have the things, and still have a heart that is torn, and a life and a mind that is torn asunder. A thankful heart is a key to the contentment that Paul is talking about here. People that have contentment have discovered a real treasure. People that know how to be satisfied, to have that mind and that heart and that life that is satisfied with where they are. And to have what a great gain that is. So we look here tonight that these people that are contented, they are thankful and they rejoice in what they have. They rejoice in the things of what God has given to them. Part of the problem in the world tonight, I'll go back and think about what I've just said about the world not being content, is that most of them have no idea, have no knowledge of God. They have no knowledge of spirituality. They have no knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore they have no contentment. But you and I, and those of us that are righteous with the Lord, and not perfect, but He's made us righteous. We have His righteousness that has been put upon us. Those of us that have contentment, we can rejoice in what we have. We don't have to struggle. We don't have to fight. We don't have to long. We don't have to tear up or tear down something in order that I might gain just a little bit more. We can be content with what God has blessed us with. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, be content with such things as you have. That's pretty simple. Be content with such things as you have. Again, I believe Paul writing there, the book of Hebrews, writing to those Jews. And Jews are very discontented people. They desire more. They desire want. They have the desire in their heart. And they long and search, and they want more and more and more. And Paul writes those Jewish people there in the book of Hebrews. He tells them, just be content with what you have. He's writing to Jewish believers. He's not writing to the Sanhedrin that Paul once was a part of. He's not writing to that group of people that blasphemed the Lord and destroyed it. He's not writing to those Pharisees that he once ran around with and was a part of, and probably was a leader in that group. He's not writing to those in Hebrews. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to those Jews that have come to know and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells them one thing. He says, be content with such things as you have. So Paul understands the importance of of contentment. Paul understands the joy of knowing, and this key of conquering our life, and the covetousness that all of us have. We all have it. I mean, we all have a certain point in our life that we wish we had more. But we have to learn to control it. We have to learn to let the Lord give, and as He gives, to be satisfied with what He gives to us. The contentment will free us from the lusting for possessions. If possessions would make you happy, then all of Hollywood ought to be happy. If possessions would make you happy, then the liberal crowd around us ought to be happy. Those that have multitudes of bank accounts and bank accounts on top of bank accounts, that ought to make them happy, but for the most part, they are not happy. And so we find that if we just will be content with what God has given to us, and the part that's so important in that is we believe God knows what's best for us. We know the Scripture says He'll not withhold any good thing from us. And so what God gives to me, then I need to be happy to realize that God's given me the best that I need for right now. That God has presented to us what we have need of in our life. Paul was content because he was continually thankful. His thankfulness was always very prominent in his writings. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 18, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Not just in good things, not in easy things, but in everything give thanks unto the Lord. A thankful heart would be that which would give about contentment in our life. Turn over to the to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. And let's look at verse number 11. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 11 says, not that I speak of respect of want, for I have learned, Paul had to learn something. He is dealing here with the offerings of the church, and he rejoiced in how they had given care of him in verse number 10. Paul was a missionary, and I believe he lived off of some of the things the churches gave to him. And he tells us about that in verse number 10. He tells the Philippian church that they had given care to him again, time and again, over and over. And he was thankful for that. But in verse 11, he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want." He said, "I haven't had any want. God has given." He said, "For I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be" what? "Content." Paul, when he was up, he was content. Paul, when he had plenty, he was content. Paul, when he was traveling, he was content. Paul, when he had to set up his tent-making business, he was a tent maker. And time again, he refers to this making his own way and providing for himself. And so Paul was content. If the church sent him something, then he was content. If churches didn't do that, then he was content because God had given him means whereby he could have means to get along and to live in his society. So Paul said, "I've learned this. I've learned that wherever I am, whatever position I find myself, whatever is going on in my life, to be content." Well, that's easy to preach, but I'll guarantee you it's hard to live. It's easy for me to stand up here and say, "Oh, we need to be contented," and I'll go home tomorrow and there'll be something that I won't be contented with, because that's the human nature that comes out in each of us. But Paul said, "I've learned something. I've learned in my life that I have to have contentment, have peace of heart and peace of mind." His contentment was not based upon what he had. Verse number 12 here in Philippians chapter 4. He said, "I know both how to be abased." That means without. Paul said, "I know how to be poor. I know how to not to have things." And he said, "And I know how to abound." He said, "I know how to have everything provided." He says, "In all things, everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and both to suffer need." And then that next verse we read so many times, he said, "I can do all things through Christ." The only way that Paul could do the things he did was because he was content. He didn't wake up on Monday morning like a lot of preachers do, and like sometimes this preacher does. He didn't wake up on Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning and have struggles in his in his mind and struggles in his heart. "I can't do this. I can't do that. I don't have this. I don't have that. This is not right. This is going wrong." Sometimes it just bombards us and robs our contentment. But Paul said, "I've learned whatever comes my way, just to be content." He said, "I know how it is not to have. I know how it is to abound or to have plenty." Either position, to be abased or to be abounding, Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And so we find that Paul understood contentment. It wasn't something that just happened overnight. He said, "I've learned it." We just had graduation here at school, and these seniors that graduated, they could do more this 12th grade year than they could that first grade year, because they had learned things along the way. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen immediately. It comes by a process of learning and a process of growing. The Scripture calls it, for you and I, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And so Christ had made him content in every condition, and therefore he says, "I can do whatever needs to be done. I can do all things through Christ. Not through me, not through Paul, but I can do it through the Lord. If I'm hungry, I can still do the will of God. If I'm full and abound," he said, "I can do the will of God. And I can follow the direction of that." One thing for sure, as he tells us where we read tonight in verse number 9, 1 Timothy, He says here that they that be rich fall into temptation. And verse 10 says the love of money is the root of all evil. And he tells us that in verse number 7, we didn't bring anything here, and we're not going to carry anything out. We're going to leave this world just like we came. We're going to leave with nothing. And therefore, we need to understand when we come into this world, we were broke. We had to depend on somebody else. And we leave this world wherever we are, we still have to depend on our Lord. And noting that He will help us and will take care of us. Having food and clothing, Paul says, I can be content. To have shoes on our feet, clothes on our back, food in our stomach, we need to learn to be content. Now there's a whole lot more to life than that, isn't it? We've got gas bill, light bill, car bill, all kind of bills. First of the month comes around every first of the month. And boy, they come around awful fast. They come around very, very rapidly. And so there's more to life than just having food and raiment. But having food and raiment are the necessities of each of us. And to have a place over us and have protection of the Lord, then He fills in all the gaps. He fills in all the empty spots and the empty places because we are content and He He loves us. People that are contented, they refuse to be ruled by what they don't have. See, there's a lot of folks tonight that are being ruled by what they don't have. And they everything they do is in order to get what they don't have. It's in order to just survive and do more. I've got this, but I want something else. But contented people, we're not to live just for things. We're not to live just for what we can grab a hold of. The desire is within all of us that we desire the things that are good for us. And many desire to be rich. And Paul deals with this thing here in this little few passages and verses that we read. He says in verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Those that will be rich, those that do everything they can do to get everything they can get and do all they can do to get more, and all of a sudden Paul says they're falling into a snare. And that snare will bring them down. A snare is a trap. It's a trap that we get caught in, and then we get in that unending cycle that we just cannot get out of. Most Americans tonight owe more than they will ever pay off. Most people in this country owe more to the bank and to the credit cards. I ain't going to get on this too much now. But we owe more than we will ever supposedly get out of. Now, it's real nice when that credit card letter comes, you're approved. Better throw that thing away. Yeah, you're approved all right, and they're going to do all they can to make sure that they get what little you can give them every month. I was looking the other day at one of the cards, and if you just pay that minimum, well, that doesn't sound like too much. Card may be $2,000 or $3,000. If you just pay $35 a month, that's all you have to pay. But they don't tell you that it'll take you 450 years to pay it off. They don't tell you how long it's going to take. Just pay that $35. And we feel good. And so, well, if that's all it costs, I can probably afford 50, so I'll go put a little bit more on my card. And the next time it comes in, it says, if you only pay $50 a month, you've got it made. Yeah, but you don't have the whole story. And so Paul tells us and warns us that there's a snare. There's a trap. There's that trap that comes along. And I don't have a whole lot of things, but I've always tried to live within my means. And the Lord's blessed us for doing that. And if I go buy a car, I have to do like most people do. And I just sign the note. And now they got it up to 7 or 8 years. You think, well, that's not a very bad payment. Yeah, but it lasts a long time. a long time. This last car I bought says interest free. That's another catcher. And somebody said, I said, well, let's just get it down not so many years. Well, it doesn't matter, preacher. There's no interest on it here anyway. So it don't matter if you pay it off early or late. You're not going to save any money. You know what? I fell for that. I'm about 7 years down the road now, about 5 years now down the road. If I keep the thing, if I stay alive, it'll be mine. But until then, that snare, that every month thing comes along, and I'm trying to pay more on it than every month, and they say, and I'm ahead. If something happens, I don't have to pay any more till next year. And so, but they said, don't do that. It don't help you any. There's no interest. Yeah, but my interest is I want to get out of debt. That's my interest. And so we find that Paul tells us here that if we're not careful, we'll be caught in a snare. We'll be caught in a trap and temptation to do more and to fall into that. He says, then he goes on and says, into many foolish and hurtful lusts. The word lust there just means desire for what we don't have. And he says, will which drown men in destruction and perdition. Paul said, if you're not careful, Timothy, it'll drown you. If you're not careful, Timothy, you'll be underwater. Ever heard that? Well, your house is underwater. Well, there's no water around my house. No, but you owe more than it's worth. You're underwater. And Paul tells Timothy, he says, don't get into that mode. Have the right understanding and have contentment with what the Lord has given. He tells in verse number 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, it does not say here that money is evil, but it's the root that sometimes springs up into a branch, into a tree that becomes evil acquired. And so it's the root of all evil, which while he says here some coveted after. Paul says, Timothy, there's been some that they've coveted after this thing of finances and money. And they have erred. Notice here, it's not a personal error. He says they've erred from the what? Faith. I think there's something spiritual in our lives that we need to deal with concerning finances. It's not just goods. It's our standing. And he says, these men, they have erred from the faith, and they've pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Who's a person that has sorrow? Those that have worked and struggled and still can't get ahead because they've got so much debt, they've got so much going on that they just cannot do it, and they are piercing themselves with sorrow, and they're going at it, and they'll never get the end of it. And Paul says unto Timothy, but thou, O man of God. What does he tell him to do here? Flee these things. Run from it. And while you're running, what's the next part of it? While you're running, you follow after righteousness. Be right with God and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness. But verse number 12 says, while you're running, you may have to fight. While you're running, fight the good fight of faith. And lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Timothy, you have a good profession. There are people that have seen you from even a child. Paul says you learned at the feet of your mother and your grandmother, Lois and Eunice, and they have seen you grow and mature. And he says you have a great testimony. He said, don't ruin the testimony. Flee those things. Turn away from those things. Because godliness with contentment, verse 6, is great gain. It is wonderful to have contentment in our life. Cash without Christ caters only to carnality. Things of this world without the Lord, it just sort of caters toward carnal things. Possessions without the Prince of Peace never, never satisfy. You can own the whole world and lose your soul, and you're not contented while you're here. And what discontentment there is in eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ. Contentment comes from knowing and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where real contentment comes from. To be a servant of the Lord. Responding to His love. Responding in faith to His word. Remembering that we are but sinners saved by grace. That's all we are. The only thing different, the only thing that separates you and I from the unbeliever tonight is the grace of God. Without that, we are no different. And so Paul tells him here, flee these things and follow after righteousness. He tells him to flee. He tells him to follow. He tells him to fight. And so Paul gave him an alliterated sermon there in those that one little verse. Flee, follow, fight. May God help us tonight to realize our responsibility is to turn unto the Lord and to follow after Him. In the book of James, chapter number 1 and verse number 17, this will close. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That verse says there, contentment. Every good gift comes to us. It comes from above. It comes from the Father, and in Him there is no variableness. There's no change in the Lord. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So therefore we can depend upon Him and we can have contentment in our life. To be a contented Christian, it is great gain. It helps us not to have to buy a whole lot of medication for our nerves. It helps us not to have to buy a whole lot of medication for our ulcers. Just contentment. It helps us not to have to buy medication for high blood pressure. Just contentment. Everything we do, we need to realize it comes from God. Everything we have is a good gift from the Lord. And it's great gain to be contented with what God gives to us. I pray the Lord to help us tonight in our personal life, and I believe many have already understood that and are content in their life. But when discontentment comes, you can rest assured it's not from God. When we are disheartened and discontented and we're not happy, that is not from the Lord. So therefore, we need to learn. Paul said, I've learned in whatever state of mind, wherever you find me, he said, I've learned to have contentment in my life. Let's stand tonight and